Hello, everyone. Let's continue in our Bible study through the book of Job. Now, chapter 23, Job answers. Chapter 23, verse 1, "Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments, with questions, with explanations. I just want to be close to God. I want to be able to have his blessings. I want to serve him. I can't understand why I'm suffering this. I'm hoping he'll show me. I'm asking him to. I want to do what he says." Verse 5, "I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. There the upright could reason with him," not dispute and argue with him, but to beseech him and reason with him, Job is saying, and he's talking about God there. Verse 8, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he does work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Where is he? Where is God? What's going on? What's happening? Wherever I look, I can't find him like I used to. I'm puzzled. I'm confused. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." He knows everything. He knows what I'm going through. He knows my situation. And he's trying me. He's testing me. He's going to help me come forth through this and be better as a result of it. But right now, it's overwhelming. Verse 11, "My foot has held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. My foot is held fast to his steps, to his path, to his way." Verse 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desires, even that he does. And I have served him. But I know that his will is going to be done. I just want to know how I can do his will. And I want to know how I can have his blessings instead of this terrible trial I'm going through. But I'm going to keep right on keeping his commandments, and I'm going to keep right on esteeming his words and holding them with much more importance than the necessary food to stay alive." That's what he says in verse 12. Verse 14, "For he performs the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him, for God makes my heart weak and soft, and the Almighty troubles me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither has he covered the darkness from my face." And so I'm troubled. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to understand. This is something I've never experienced before. I know he's trying me. I know there's a reason for it. I just don't see it. And I need to see it. And I'm hoping that I can see it and that I won't be in darkness any longer. But I can see what this is all about and see what to do and then do it and get this all taken care of. That's what Job is beginning to think and what he's beginning to say here. Now, chapter 24 and verse 1. "Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? Some remove the landmarks. They violently take away flocks and feed thereof. They drive away the donkey of the fatherless. They take the widow's ox for a pledge. They turn the needy out of the way. The poor of the earth hide themselves together." That's how some people are treating other people, but I never did that. And probably he's implying that some of his friends treated others like that. "Behold, as wild donkeys in the desert go they forth to their work. Rising betimes for a prey, the wilderness yields food for them and for their children. They reap every one his corn in the field, and they gather the vintage of the wicked. They plunder and pillage and take what they want. They cause the naked to lodge without clothing, that they have no covering in the cold. They are wet with the showers of the mountains and embrace the rock for want of a shelter. They pluck the fatherless from the breast and take a pledge of the poor. They abuse and plunder and besiege the disadvantaged." I never did that. I'm wondering if he's implying some of you did do that to his friends. It seems that way. Verse 10, they cause him to go naked without clothing, and they take away the sheaf from the hungry, which make oil within their walls and tread their winepresses and suffer thirst. Men groan from out of the city, and the soul of the wounded cries out, yet God lays not folly to them. These evil people, God doesn't seem to be punishing them. But I didn't do any of this evil, and I'm getting punished. I'm still trying to figure this out, Job is saying. They are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. Verse 11 is talking about how people had to hide out and stay within their houses for protection and do work in their houses that normally they could do outside, make oil within their walls, because of the fear of evil people treating them in such a horrible way. I never did that. Verse 13, they are of those that rebel against the light. They know not the ways thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. The murderer rising with the light kills the poor and needy, and in the night is as a thief. The eye also of the adulterer waits for the twilight, saying, no eye shall see me, and disguises his face, and proceeds to commit immorality and adultery, hiding his identity so nobody will find out as he goes about being a piece of garbage doing horrible immoral acts, such as fornication, adultery, whoremongering, and so on. And Job is saying, but he looks like he gets by with it. I never did that, and look how I'm suffering. In the dark, they dig through houses. They break into houses, which they had marked for themselves in the daytime. They know not the light. They go along, and they figure out which house to break into once it gets dark, just like criminals do in our day and time. And they like for the darkness to come, so they're less likely to get caught. Verse 16, they know not the light. Now notice verse 17. For the morning is to them even as the shadow of death. If one knows them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. They dread to see the morning come because they're afraid they'll be recognized. He is swift as the waters. Their portion is cursed in the earth. He beholds not the way of the vineyards. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. So does the grave those which have sinned. It catches up. Sin brings tremendous penalties if not repented of. And so curses come on these people. It's only a matter of time. But what I'm experiencing is not a curse. It's a trial, and it's a lesson, and it's correction. So I can see something I don't see. That's fundamentally an underlying theme with Job's answers. Drought and heat consume the snow waters. They're not enough to break the drought and the heat. So does the grave those which have sinned. Death. The womb shall forget him. The worm shall feed sweetly on him. He shall be no more remembered, and wickedness shall be broken as a tree. He evil entreats the barren that bears not, and does not good to the widow. He draws also the mighty with his power. He rises up, and no man is sure of life. And he thinks if he surround himself with mighty men and soldiers, that'll give him security. But it won't. The curse and penalty will still hit no matter what kind of security detail they have. No man is sure of life. Verse 23, this is Job speaking, and that's true. Though it be given him to be in safety whereon he rests, yet his eyes are upon their ways. And so as he rests and relaxes because he has such a secure dwelling surrounded by security forces, that's still not going to protect him from the inevitable consequences of his sins. Verse 24, they're exalted for a little while, seems like they're getting away with it, but are gone and brought low. They are taken out of the way as all other and cut off as the tops of the ears of corn, harvested like heads of grain. In other words, their life is taken, and they don't escape the inevitable results of their actions. That's the way it is with the wicked. And Job is saying, I know that, but you can't lump me in with them. You're acting in a way that you're lumping yourself in with them. Verse 25, and if it be not so now, who will make me a liar and make my speech nothing worth or worth nothing? If what I'm saying is not true, who can prove it to be wrong? Who can dispute it with facts? Who can show that I'm in error in what I'm saying? Job is saying here. Now we get to chapter 25 and verse 1. Another one of his so-called friends speak up. So you had Zophar, and then you had Eliphaz, and now you have Bildad all taking their shot at Job, turning him into a punching bag, ganging up on him one after the other, and Job defending himself. And then here they come again, and here's Bildad, chapter 25 and verse 1. Then answered Bildad the Shuhite and said, "Dominion and fear are with him. He makes peace in his high places. Is there any number of his armies, and upon whom does his light arise? How then can man be justified with God, or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shines not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man which is a worm?" A very short little speech here. And Bildad is saying, you can't justify yourself. You can't surround yourself with army and get away with it. You can't be clean before God. Nothing escapes God. He knows everything. And so who are you to try to justify yourself in God's sight? You can't be justified in God's sight. And you can be justified in God's sight upon repentance and forgiveness from God and justified through Jesus Christ. That's the truth of the matter. And Bildad didn't have it right. And another thing he says here regarding God. See, he says, how then can a man be justified with God? Well, we can be if we repent and we're forgiven and we obey God. How can he be clean that is born of a woman? Well, by repenting and yielding to God and obeying God. So Bildad didn't even understand these things. And he's accusing Job of things he doesn't know anything about. He didn't know what he's talking about. Behold, even the moon, and it shines not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. No, that's not true. God created the sun, moon, and stars, and he says that it's all very good. So he's accusing God, Bildad is, of untrue things and attributing to God things that are not factual and right. So he's saying, well, if nothing is pure and nothing is clean and nothing has the ability to be justified in God's sight, how can a man be justified in God's sight? Job, so who are you talking about justification? Had it all wrong, Bildad did. Had it all wrong. Had it all wrong about explaining God. Didn't understand the plan of salvation. And Job did understand it. And Bildad is way off track and out of line here. How much less man that is a worm? Well, we are nothing and less than nothing. But we have the potential of being a son of God through Jesus Christ. And the son of man, which is a worm. Without God, we are nothing. But he leaves God out of the picture here, and he doesn't explain it properly. This man, Bildad the Shuhite. Now here we have Job answering him. Chapter 26 and verse 1. But Job answered and said, how have you helped him that is without power? How savest thou the arm that has no strength? What good are you? Are you helping me out? Are you helping the disadvantaged? Are you stepping in to strengthen those that are in a weakened situation? Bildad, Mr. Know-it-all? How have you counseled him that has no wisdom? How have you plentifully declared the thing as it is? I've done all these things. You haven't, and yet you're sitting there lecturing me. To whom have you uttered words, and whose spirit came from you? Dead things are formed from under the waters, and the inhabitants thereof. Dead things tremble from under the waters, and the inhabitants thereof, is a different or a better translation. In other words, God is in charge of everything, including everything underneath the waters. He's just talking about how God is great and how he has taught that. But you haven't taught it, Bildad. Verse 6, Sheol, or the grave, is naked before him, and destruction has no covering. He stretches out the north over the empty place and hangs the earth upon nothing. He binds up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them, does not burst. It's all designed by the great God. It's perfectly in tune and balance. He holds back the face of his throne and spreads his cloud upon it. He has compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end. He's in charge of his creation. He sets limits, and that creation operates within those limits. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. He divides the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smites through the proud. By his spirit he has garnished the heavens. He has adorned the heavens. His hand has formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways. But how little of a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand? So he's describing God, his greatness, his creation, the design of his creation, the might and power that Almighty God has. And Job has taught this for years. He understands this. He believes this. And he's telling his friend, maybe you ought to consider this instead of sitting up on your high horse, giving the impression that you understand and you have all this power. And where have you helped others that needed help? I did. And God does. And look at his creation. And it's created in a way that helps others. And verse 14 says, lo, these are parts of his ways, or mere edges of his ways, just a little glimpse of how powerful he is. But how little a portion is heard of him. You only hear about him now and again and about what he does in a very small way. But the thunder of his power, who can understand? When he thunders and causes lightning, anybody who takes time to look and listen and think can see a glimpse and a part of the great power and majesty that Almighty God has. I do that. You'd be good to do that. We all would be good to do that. And Bill Dad, maybe you ought to do it. And maybe you ought to help others do that. Let's continue now in chapter 27. Chapter 27 and verse 1. Moreover, Job continued his parable, his discourse, and said, as God lives, who has taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who has vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. Yes, he's almost taken my life. Well, he hasn't, but he allowed Satan to seem like he was going to take his life, but he told Satan, you cannot take his life. But Job feels like there's not much of me left to live. And yet, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. I'm still here, and I'm still God's son. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. And I'm not going to agree with what you say about me. But then he starts getting into the problem that's been there all along, that's having to be exposed to his understanding and then squeezed out of him to where he finally sees it and repents of it, and it's wiped out once and for all, and that's self-righteousness. Just notice what Job says here as we go along in chapter 27. Verse 4, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast, and I will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. And that's fundamentally why he's suffering all of this problem. His righteousness, not God's righteousness. Let mine enemy be as the wicked, and he that raises up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he has gained when God takes away his soul? Will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God, that which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. I trust God. I look to God. I cry out to God. I delight myself in God. The hypocrite doesn't do that, so I'm not a hypocrite. And he's right in all of that. But he's wrong when it comes to his integrity and his righteousness. And that's a huge problem that causes tremendous pain and suffering, self-righteousness. I will teach you about the hand of God, or by the hand of God, that which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. Behold, all ye yourselves have seen it. Why then are you thus altogether vain? You know about God and his ways. You heard me talk about it. Why are you falling into this attitude of vanity and pomposity? You ought to know better. Job is now correcting them. Verse 13, this is the portion of a wicked man with God, and the heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. He's not going to be blessed, and his family isn't. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. Those that remain of him, or survive him, shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. because he is so evil and oppressive and wicked. Though he heap up silver as the dust and prepare raiment as the clay, he may prepare it, but the just shall put it on, and the innocent shall divide the silver. His wealth will go to others. He won't be able to take it with him or even enjoy it for very long. He builds his house as a moth and as a booth that the keeper maketh. It's temporary. It doesn't last long. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He opens his eyes, and he is not. He's done for. He's gone. He's finished. Terrors take hold on him as waters. A tempest seals him away in the night. The east wind carries him away, and he departs as a storm hurls him out of his place. He has no security, no comfort, no peace, no safety, because his wickedness catches up with him, even though it might look like it's not catching up with him for a while. And that's what's happening to you comforters that are not comforters at all, but you're sitting there judging me and misjudging yourselves. You have a beam in your eye while you're trying to get the mote out of my eye. If you condemn me, you're the ones who are going to be condemned. Job is trying to teach them that lesson. But the problem with Job is he's right about so many things, but he can't see himself. And he's self-righteous instead of having God's righteousness. And that really comes out here in this chapter. Back over here in verse 6 of Job 27. It's the heart and core of this whole book. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. I'm not going to change. I'm right and I'm righteous. But he's wrong and he is going to change. And until he does, his horrible situation is going to remain and even get worse. Verse 22, for God shall cast upon him and not spare. He would fain flee out of his hand. God is going to pounce upon him and punish him, and the wicked's going to try to desperately flee out of his hand, but he can't do it. Verse 23, men shall clap their hands at him and shall hiss him out of his place. And his friends will turn on him, and they will not be there to help him in his time of trouble. They will clap their hands and hiss at him and persecute him and revile him because of his sufferings and because of being wicked and bringing all this upon himself, and because his friends, the friends of the wicked, they're just hypocrites and they just play politics, and they're just friends with those who are wicked and wealthy to see what they can get. When they don't have that wealth anymore and they start going down, their friends throw them overboard. And that's what verse 23 is saying. And so Job is trying to help his accusers see where they're wrong about God, about him, and about themselves. But in the process of doing that, he doesn't see himself the way God does. And that's what he's got to come to do. He's got to come to see himself the way God sees him. And we all have to come to do that. Hopefully we won't have to go through what Job is having to go through here before we see it. Because he's having to go through some terrible things because of his self-righteousness. His three friends are going to have to go through some terrible things because of their treatment of Job and their teachings of God that were wrong. And what keeps them alive is Job intervenes for them. But we'll get to that toward the end of the book. Okay, that brings us to chapter 28 of Job. We'll pick it up there next time. Hope you'll be with us. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.